Long service then was led. It always makes preaching a little bit easier to do when you hear songs led in a good fashion and sang in such a good fashion as you did. Appreciate you being here on this beautiful first day of the week. I hope that you'll take your Bible out and follow along with me and make sure that what I say is right. If you think I'm wrong about something, you're not going to offend me, you're not going to hurt my feelings. If you say, Donnie, I think you missed the mark about that. And I promise you that I'll listen to what you say. I'll be all ears and listen to why you think I missed the mark. And if I'm wrong about that, I'll be honest about it. I'll make correction of it. And even from here, I won't say it publicly, make correction privately. If I say it publicly, I'll make correction publicly and never preach again that God would be pleased with what we strive to do. And so be sure to take your Bible out. You're not going to know whether I get it right or wrong if you're not listening, if you're not following along with what I say. The text was read just a moment ago in your hearing from 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and then verse 14, which Lucas did a very good job in reading. Let all your things be done with charity, the King James Version says, or most other versions say, with love. I got thinking about that statement, let all that you do be done with love. But we understand the importance of, as I mentioned in a recent sermon, of putting our heart into that which we do. In the book of Colossians chapter 3, when he's talking about all these different relationships, the marriage relationship, the relationship of servants and children, he says in verse 23 of Colossians chapter 3, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. And so I think all of us appreciate and can see the value in the importance of doing what we do with all of our heart and doing what we do with love. But it's very difficult to do all that we do with love if we don't love what we're doing. Did you ever think about that? When you read the statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 14, that what you do, do it with love. Did you ever think about the difficulty of doing that and fulfilling that if you don't first love what you're doing? When you work and you strive to put your hands to that which you're laboring, if you don't love your job, how well do you think you're going to put your heart into it? If you don't first love and appreciate that which you're doing. So I hope that we can all see that. But I'd like for us to think about this several points this morning, several things of which we are called upon as God's people to love. And there's a lot of things that we are not to love. It'd be a good follow-up to this sermon. You might challenge yourself to put together some points, put together a sermon or a little class on, some notes on, things that we are to love not the world, the Bible says. And there's a host of other things the Bible says to not love, but I want us to think about some things that we must love. Love to take care of a lot of things. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 4 and then verse 8, as you think about Peter writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. Have love among yourselves, for love or charity shall cover the multitude of sins. In Galatians 5 verse 22, among the fruit of the Spirit, fruit singular, for a reason. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. And he talks about joy and peace and so forth. And again, Proverbs chapter 10 and in verse 12 talks about the importance of love. But first of all, I want us to think about, number one, that we must have a love of God. If you were cataloging, making a list, what would be on the list as you think about what the Bible calls upon us to love? The first one I put down is God. We've got to love God, and that'll be evident in our life that if we love God, you'll be able to see the fruit of that. You'll be able to see that demonstrated in action. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul, the Lord stated in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. When you come over close to the end of the New Testament, in the book of 1 John, John often referred to as the apostle of love because he mentions love so many times. In the book of 1 John, is writing. In 1 John chapter 5 and in verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. And by the way, when you think about loving God and loving these other things and individuals of which we'll talk about, it's always expressed. It's got to be expressed. If you love God, you'll express that love of God. If you have faith, you'll express your faith. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. If I don't keep God's commandments, I can't say that I love God. If I'm not keeping His commandments, well, what are His commandments? Well, the only way we can know, as I've told you several times lately, we've got to read the book. For this is the love of God, verse 3. What is the love of God? Now, what's this expression? That we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome, some versions may say, or grievous. Too difficult for us to bear. It doesn't mean that they're not with difficulty, but certainly they're not impossible or too difficult for us to do. But if we love God, we'll keep His commandments. Number 2. We must love our family. Do you love your family? Most of us would answer in the affirmative. Sometimes folks don't. And we see the ramifications of that in the world when folks don't love their family. Without natural affection, the Bible will talk about it. Love and affection, which ought to be natural, but yet folks don't have that. And I saw that for a good number of years, about a decade of the consequence when families do not love their family members, their own, as they should. In Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 25, and we continue to see that in our time, it's just demonstrated along so many lines when families don't love one another. In Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 25, husbands, love your wives. Well, how much am I to love my wife? Keep reading. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might present it, sanctify it, cleanse it with the washing of water, and so forth. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, He purchased the church with His own blood. Husbands, this morning, are you willing to die for your wife? Christ died for the church. And in this text, Paul, writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, tells the church of Christ at Ephesus, husbands, you love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. There's a lot of valuable lessons that we need to learn when we're young. This is one of them. But if you're single, if you're listening to me this morning, you're single, you need to learn this. When you grow up, or the time comes that you begin to look for a wife, and you need to look for a wife among God's people. But when you do that, you need to be devoted. I'm going to love her through thick and thin, health and sickness, till death do us part, and I'd be even willing to die for. So husbands, love your wives. In Romans, the book of Titus, chapter 2 and in verse 4, the aged women teach the younger to love their children. Now again, that's got to be demonstrated or expressed. Husbands, love your wives. Women need to love their children. Children need to respect and honor their parents. Ephesians chapter 6. Well, I tell you, that's a lesson that folks need to hear and learn today. Along all fronts, when it comes to marriage and children, and the list goes on and on. In Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 20. Colossians chapter 3 verse 20, we were here a moment ago. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And all of us, I'm sure, recognize not only the importance of loving our family, but the importance of not putting family above God. Whosoever loveth father more, mother more than me is not worthy of me, or son and daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He's not saying don't love your family, but He's saying don't put them above God. Don't put them above serving the Lord. We've got to remind ourselves of that each and every day. But also, as you think about that which we are to love, do you love yourself? Folks say, now wait a minute, preacher. I know I'm to love my spouse. I know I'm to love my children. I know I'm to love God. I know I'm to love a lot of other things, which we'll talk about in just a moment. But you're telling me I've got to love self? You know the Bible teaches to love yourself? Someone says, give me a passage that says that. Be happy to. Look in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 28. Ephesians 5, we were just talking about in the book of Ephesians about husbands loving their wives. In the book of Ephesians chapter 5, as I've mentioned to you before, Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is talking about the relationship of Christ and the church, but he is using the relationship of a husband and wife to get the point across, as the husband is head of the wife, and Christ is head of the church, and so forth. But notice, if you will, in Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 28. Let's back up to verse 27. That he might present it, that is the church, to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now what's the next verse? So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh. Now, with every rule, there's an exception to it. Folks get themselves in such a predicament that they no longer see the value or the worth of self and others. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. You take care of yourself, don't you? You get hungry, you make sure that you feed yourself. You get cold, you go put a coat on. You get hot, you dress accordingly. Be careful about that. Summertime, and folks need a lesson on that. I've done a lesson at least twice since I've been with you on dressing modestly, even in hot weather. But you see the point about that. We take care of self. We try to avoid injury to self. We take precaution to make sure that we don't injure self when we're working and doing various things, because we don't want to get hurt. And we love our body. We see the importance of our body and being able to carry on doing the things that we do. And so, yes, the Bible teaches that you ought to love self. Now, that's not being arrogant. We're not talking about being arrogant, haughty, and high-minded, and better than thou, and big I and little you type of attitude, of which the Bible condemns. Proverbs chapter 6 and a host of other places condemns that sort of thing, but we're talking about a love of self and a respect of self. And folks, we need to respect self. You agree with me? So ought men to love his wife as he does his own body. Romans 12 verses 1 and 2 talks about the sacrifice that we are to make concerning self, presenting ourself as a living sacrifice unto God. But if we are abusive to self, we don't take care of self on purpose. Now, someone to take that thought many times and run with. You're saying you can't drink pop. You're saying you can't have too much sugar. You're saying that you can't have too many eggs. You're saying you can't have this, that, or the other. And try to be ridiculous with that sort of thing. But you get the point. Don't do anything that is going to destroy your ability to meet your responsibilities toward God and toward self and toward family. And don't do anything that is going to hamper your influence for good. Recently read a very good article regarding that. Be happy to share it with you if you'd like to have it. Influence matters. Self matters. Now, I think about the passage in the book of Philippians chapter 2 when he talks about the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was first in Christ Jesus, Philippians 2:5. In the context of that, the mind that he's talking about is the fact that you put the needs of others above the needs of self. And that, of necessity, involves sacrifice. And so what I say to you, I say to me, when is the last time that I, when is the last time you have made self-sacrifice for the benefit of the needs of somebody else? Many of you have along various different lines, even recently. And that's encouraging, to encourage one another along those lines. So love self. But also, as you make this list, and maybe you're sitting there listening to me this morning, you're cataloging, you're making a list of your own, see how many of these will match together. But in 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 17, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, simple statement is made, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the King. Love the brotherhood. So I ask you this morning, stand before you, as you look around the room, can you say that you love your brethren. I was talking to a brother on the phone this morning, doesn't attend here. The last couple of conversations we've had, and maybe more, he's ended the call by saying, "I love you, brother." I appreciate that. Are we willing to say that without dissimulation? King James Version word for hypocrisy. Like in the book of Galatians, Barnabas was also carried about with their dissimulation, their hypocrisy. Let love be without dissimulation, the Bible talks about. Do we love the brethren? Again, remember I said it must be expressed, not just lip service. John talked about that. Let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Put your money where your mouth is, so to speak. So if we love the brethren, that it be expressed. John 13:35, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one toward another." There's a lot of things that will not occur. You talk about things that will occur when we love one another. There's a host of things that will not take place when we have the love that we ought to have for our brethren. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. "Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love the brethren." See that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently. And in 1 John chapter 3 and then verse 17, all these dealing with love that we ought to have toward one another. "But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" Again, how much love do you have toward brethren? Are you willing to express that? No wonder the Bible says, as I mentioned in the introduction to you, that love will cover a multitude of sin. You can work any problem out, I assure you. Any problem can be resolved when those on both sides of the conflict have the love, the attitude, and the heart, the disposition toward one another that they should. You agree? But also, as you think about love toward others, the Bible even calls upon us to love our enemies. That's not always easy to do. Someone says, "Well, that's a tall order." Well, it might be. But God still calls upon us to do it. And we are to do it that we might be the children of our Father which is in heaven. The Lord stated in the book of Matthew chapter 5, in the great Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verse 44 or 43 beginning, "You have heard that it is said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you," the Lord spoke as authority. A number of times they were astonished as teacher because he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And that's even stated at the end of this first speech section. There's five in the book of Matthew, five speech sections. First one's a Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7. At the end of it, the conclusion of it, "For he taught them," they were astonished, verse 28, "for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." Well, what do you say about it, Lord? You have authority. "But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Not always easy, is it? Well, you know, maybe someone has been talking about you, saying things, doing things, whatever the case may be. Love your enemies. We can see that attitude in the Lord. You know who He died for? For those who both loved Him and those who did not love Him. He died for the ones that even pierced Him. Died for Pilate. Died for the Jews that said, "Away with Him, crucify Him." Died for all mankind. Hebrews chapter 20 and verse 9. And now He's calling upon the disciples. This, of course, is before His crucifixion, but He's going to demonstrate the love He had. He's calling upon the disciples to have love even for their enemies and pray for those which hate them, do good to them, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. What's your reaction when you see those that do not like you? What's your reaction? Avoid them? Maybe they need some help. Maybe you're going down the road and You see a car pulled over and they have a flat tire. But then you realize you're getting ready to pull over and you realize, no, they don't like me. And you just keep on going. Is that what we do? Or do we pull over and help them? Well, if you want to be a child of God, you take care of them. You love them. You pray for them. That you may be the children of your Father. Here's the conclusion of it. Here's the reason for it. That you may be your children, the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. I'm like no doubt many of you are. Along the way, folks have not liked me as a preacher. That happens along the way. So even if you don't preach, that happens. When you stand for truth, folks are not going to like you. When you preach truth, not everybody is going to like you. But that don't mean that you reciprocate that. I think I read somewhere where the Bible says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Paul wrote that to the saints at Rome in the book of Romans. So don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Romans 12, verse 21, if you want to look. But also, as you think about things that we are to love, we are to love truth. Not get angry at it, not get upset at truth, but love the truth. We read in 2 Thessalonians about some who did not love the truth. Notice, if you will, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and in verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Some folks are going to be lost because they absolutely would not love the truth. In Psalm 119, several verses, I'm impressed with. Throughout the 119th Psalm, he talks about the testimonies, the Word of God, the statutes of God, and so forth. But notice, if you will, concerning the love of truth. In Psalm 119, and in verse 97, oh, how love I thy law. It is a meditation, or my meditation, all the day. In 113, all these are in Psalm 119. In 113, I hate being false, but thy law do I love. In 163, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. And in verse 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Do you love truth? There's nothing more that I love, brother, to gospel preaching than to sit down and listen to book, chapter, verse preaching. I'm encouraged by that. And so many of you do such a good job with that in your Bible classes and the preaching. You're to be commended for that and encouraged to keep on doing that. Fill your sermons full of Scripture. Don't be like the lady I mentioned to you before that was complaining about her preacher, and she said, he just uses the Bible too much, too many verses. Can you have too many verses? But also, love your neighbor. In the book of Galatians, chapter 5, and in verse 14. Galatians 5, and in verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. We just read in the Sermon on the Mount, you've heard it been said to love your brother and love your neighbor and hate your enemy. No. We're to love even our enemies, and we're to love our neighbors. In the book of Galatians chapter, or James rather, chapter 2 and in verse 8. James 2 verse 8. If you fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. What's the next three words? Ye do well. You want to do well in the sight of God? Love your neighbor as self. Also, Romans chapter 13, verse 10. And then some might say, well, who's my neighbor? I think someone else was asked that very same question in the New Testament. Luke chapter 10, remember when we came seeking to justify self and they asked the Lord, well, who is my neighbor? And the Lord gave them the great teaching of the Good Samaritan. Your neighbor are those that you come in contact with as you have opportunity to help. Opportunity and the means to be able to do that. But also, I mentioned to you about loving God. The Bible calls upon us to love Christ. John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Also John 14:23 and John 15:10. If you love me, keep my commandments. Got to love Christ. Think about what He did for us. Laid down His life when it wasn't easy to do, but He did it. Last one. We've got 11 on the outline. I'm sharing with you 9. 1 Peter chapter 3 and then verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 3 and then verse 10. The others, as you're turning that, I've got down. Love good from the book of Amos chapter 5. And love of the Holy Spirit, Romans chapter 15, verse 30. Last point. From 1 Peter chapter 3 and then verse 10. Not rendering, verse 9 beginning, evil for evil, as we talked about earlier, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. Now watch the next verse for our last point. For he that will love life, you want to love life? Here's a recipe for it. If I want to have love of life, he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew or shun evil and do good. And let him seek peace and ensue it. Now, if you want to love life, there's a good recipe for it from God, right in the divine book of God. There's nothing wrong with loving life. In fact, when you go back to the Old Testament, I'll give you a couple of passages from the book of Ecclesiastes. He talks about labor. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, he's making a contrast between that which is right and that which is wrong. Very easily to see it in this chapter with a little word, but. B-U-T, that sets forth a contrast in various different things. I think, if I didn't miscount it, it's 25 times in the third chapter of Ecclesiastes. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and then verse 13, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor, it is a gift of God. And so we ought to enjoy and to love life. I may mention to you last week, but I didn't give you a reference about young people loving life and enjoying being young while you're young, but being careful about what you do. That's in next to the last chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes. A good way to remember that is because Ecclesiastes chapter 12 talks about growing old and dying. And just before he begins that great statement of Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and in verse 1, when he says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, right before that in chapter 11, he makes this statement in verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart. And in the sight of thine eyes. Now notice what he's saying. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth. Enjoy it. It's fleeting, I guarantee it. It's fleeting. Rejoice in your youth and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. And walk in thy ways. There are a lot of things that, I'm not talking about wrong, I'm talking about there are a lot of things that young people do that older people don't do. That don't have any interest in it. But when you're young, you want to do various things because you're young and you're full of life and you're full of zeal and you've got the energy and youth and health on your side to do it. It's okay. But here's what you need to remember. The next part of verse 9. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. Do that which you want to do while you're young. That's right. And enjoy life. Nothing wrong with that. But remember that there is a coming judgment day. Eschew from evil if you want to love life and see good days. Let your lips speak no guile. Talk about one thing that will help to strengthen God's people, a local congregation, when folks watch what they say and how they say it. Don't lie on bread. And don't say things. Don't gossip and so forth and meddle. And the Bible has a lot to say about that. We might have an upcoming lesson on that kind of thing. If you want to love life and see good days. Maybe you're here this morning, not a Christian, but you want to be a Christian. You want to go to heaven. Maybe you've been indecisive about that. Spend a lot of time on whether you want to become a Christian or not. And you've come to the conclusion, I do want to become a Christian. We want you to be a Christian too. We want to go to heaven and we want you to go to heaven. What must I do? Exactly what they did in New Testament times. It had never changed. Hear the gospel, Romans 10:17. Believe it, John 8:24. Repent of your sins, Acts 3:19. Confess your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God, Romans 10:10. Like the eunuch did in Acts 8:37. And be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. That's simple. Nothing difficult about that at all. In doing it and understanding it. If you want to go to heaven, if you want to leave the world and go to heaven when life is over, you'll gladly do that. You know how I know that? The simple statement made in Acts chapter 2 upon hearing the truth. They that gladly received His word were baptized in the same day that were added unto them about 3,000 souls, Acts 2 verse 41. Maybe you're here this morning, you've not been living your life right and been unfaithful to the Lord. Went back out into the ways of the world, but you want to straighten all that up and come home. Why not do that on this beautiful Lord's Day, the opportunity that God has given to you? Direct token of His long-suffering, 2 Peter chapter 3, and verse 15. Repent of your unfaithfulness, make confession unto God in prayer. 1 John 1:9, we'll pray with you and for you. Come right now.